Erev Shabbos Parshas Tetzaveh, Tavshin Ayin. This year Purim has a Shabbos that precedes it. What does that mean? Because we already had Tainus Esther already on Thursday, which means that Purim is extended. Since Purim is on Sunday, when it's a Nitche, we advance Tainus Esther to Thursday, so really it's like a whole weekend we have a Purim. We start with Tainus Esther, we already have the Purim spirit in ourselves. I think we can understand it from a different standpoint. And that is the very famous Zayir HaKadosh, which is brought by the Arizal, and then many Svarim, that Purim, of course, is Yom HaKippurim. That Yom Kippur, Yom HaKippurim is only somewhat like Purim. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is one level that we have in terms of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tshuva Meira, and then the higher level, if you will, is Purim, which is Tshuva Me'av. Fine, that we all know, that we heard. So a beautiful addition to that vort. In the name of the Gra. The Gra says that we know the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that every Yom Tov is either Kuloi Lashem or Kuli Lachem or Chatzi Lachem and Chatzi Lachem. This is Machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and the Gemara in Pesachim Samaches. And on Shavuos everyone agrees you need at least Chatzi Lachem. But the Machlekes is, do you need to have in a Yom Tov? Does it have to be entirely dedicated with the whole focus, doing things only Ruchnius, only Lashem? Or is it supposed to be Kulay Lachem, that the whole Yom Tov should be focused on ourselves, on enjoying it? That's one opinion. The other opinion is, no, it should be split. Part of the time should be focused on things like davening and learning, and the other part should be focused on things that we enjoy physically. The Gra explained that if we understand that Yom Kippur is Kippurim, so we know Yom HaKippurim is Kulei Lashem. We're involved entirely the whole day spiritually. Only things focused on davening and tshuva, and that's what we do on Yom Kippur. There's no Lachem. There's certainly no physical involvement on Yom Kippur. Says the Gra, the kul lechatzi lachem of Yom Kippur is Purim. Over there, we're not aser b'malacha, we can drive our cars, we can do malacha, and there we engage in mishta v'simcha, in physical pursuits of eating and drinking. That's the other side of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur's kulay is the chatzi lachem, chatzi lachem, and Purim is the chatzi lachem. If that's so, I think we can understand this Shabbos a little bit differently. What's this Shabbos? If there's a correlation between Purim and Yom Kippur, so what's the Shabbos before Yom Kippur? The Shabbos before Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shuva. So if so, then this Shabbos also is Shabbos Shuva. If there's certainly an element of Tshuva that is dealt with in terms of Purim, then this should be the Shabbos Shuva. This is Shabbos Shuva. We know Shabbos is a special time for Tshuva. When Adam Arishan, the first person who did Tshuva, did the mitzvah of Tshuva, he said, Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos. So we know that Shabbos is a special time for Tshuva. In a very practical sense, that's because during the week we're all busy with things that we're doing. Shabbos is a little bit, we have a little bit of respite. We're able to at least stop and think and focus, what do we have to do tshuva on? The famous Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yudalid, tells us, G'dayla ha-saras ha-tatbas, Yoyser mar-boam u-shmoyne neviyim v'sheva neviyoy shenisnabu lahem li-Yisrael. That greater was the removing of Ahasuerus's ring and giving over the permission to Haman to go forth with his evil decree, to wipe out Klal Yisrael, that was greater, that had a greater impact than the message that all of the 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'is were nisnabu to Yisrael. Why, says the Gemara, Shekulon Leichzir on the Mutav, that all of the prophets that were giving us Musar for years and years and years was to no avail. Klal Yisrael didn't do tshuva. But the removing of the king and Haman on the scene, that got us to do tshuva. So the Mashgiach always asked, and what's the Gemara trying to tell us? We're trying to denigrate the Nevi'im. Listen, the Nevi'im, they tried, but they couldn't really do the job. And maybe it was our fault, we didn't listen to them. But came Haman, came an evil decree from Haman, that did the job. So why do we have to know that? Why does the Gemara have to tell us that? It doesn't put the Nevi'im in a very good light. So the Mashgiach explained like this, that Nevi'im who come to Klal Yisrael are not for a time. As the Gemara over there says in Megillah, that Nevi'im are forever. Nevi'im are eternal. And therefore the Gemara is saying is that in every generation, Klal Yisrael always has two paths in front of them. We have two ways of accomplishing what we have to accomplish. Ultimately, we will accomplish it. Ultimately, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan will be realized. But that could happen one of two ways. Either we can do it by listening to the Nevi'im, opening up the Navi, see what the Navi has to say, and following his message. If that's not going to happen, the Gemara says, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way of having a quicker fix, a faster impact in getting us to change. And how's that? That's through Hasaras HaTabas. That's through sending someone like Haman, and that will send us the message. So the Gemara is not berating the Nevi'im, Chas V'Shalom. The Gemara is saying that in this case, in that story of Purim, greater was the removal of the king and Haman having his way and getting us to do tshuva, greater than all of the Nevi'im that were prophesizing. But that message remains forever. There's always two ways in front of us. We could either listen to the Nevi'im and change our ways, do tshuva that way, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sometimes a faster, perhaps a more painful way of getting us to do tshuva, and that's through putting up someone like Haman. I saw the Meshech Chochma. He says, that the degree of anti-Semitism in the world at any particular time in history is really only a mirror image of how we are keeping the ways of Hashem or not. And he says this is open psukim. He says it on the Megillah. But he says it's an open pasuk in the last of the Nevi'im, Malachi. Malachi Perek Beis, pasuk Zayin, begins like this. Kisif Sekai Nishmeru Das, a very famous pasuk. Kisif Sekai Nishmeru Das, that the words of the Kayin, meaning the words of the teachers of Torah, should be safeguarded. V'teira Yivakshim Yipiyu, we should learn from them. Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakesu, they should be viewed as angels. V'yatem, the Navi says, V'yatem Sartem in Aderech, but you have strayed from the way. Hichshaltem Rabim B'Torah, and not only that, you have caused many others to sin in Torah. Shichatem Bris Halevi, Omar Hashem Tzvakesu. Hashem says, so what do I do? Says the Navi, when you stray from the path, when you're not listening properly to the Torah, Hashem says, V'gam ani nasati eschem, so I therefore have put you nivzim ushvalim l'chol ha'om. I have made you despised. I have made you repulsive and lowly in the eyes of the other nations. Kifi asher einchem shomrim misderachai. In accordance with, however, if you have been not listening to Hashem, so too I have made you lowly, I have made you repulsive in the eyes of the nations. Says Remeir Simcha, you can't get any clearer than that. In the words of the Meshech Chochma, on the Pasuk, Ki Haman Harasha was Tzerer Kol HaYehudim. He says he despised all Jews. Many Jews think, there's only the Jews that are very religious. There's anti-Semitism to them. But I'm not such. I'm only a one time a year Jew. It's not going to affect me. And this is what the Jews in Germany said also, and this is maybe what the Jews in Shushan said as well. And therefore, the Megillah tells us Haman hated Kol HaYehudim. Says the Meshech Chochma, Hinei achas mipu'ulos ha'hashgacha l'kiyum hadas. One of the ways that Hashem has in intervening in this world, in order to maintain our commitment to Torah is sinas ha'umos, when the hatred of the other nations are gadol yoser ba'ozvam hadas. The more we forsake Hashem's Torah, so too the greater is the hatred that the other nations have. Ucha Moshe Omar, v'gam ani nesati eschem shvalim v'nizim, I've made you lowly and despised, kefi asher einchem shemrim derochai, in accordance with the way that you have not kept the Torah. He says, this is what happened in Mitzrayim, this is what happened in Shushan, and this is what happens throughout history. In accordance with the amount that we're not keeping of the Torah, so too Hashem sends that message to us through other nations. And that's the choice that we have always. We have either we listen to the Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im are not coming anymore in person. The Nevi'im are here in their written word. We can either listen to them and understand that we have to change our ways, or Hashem says, I have many other ways to let you know that. I think if you'll ask an average person, you'll ask the average Jew, could you give me a synopsis of the Purim story? Tell me what happened. So they'll tell you, yeah, well, there was this terrible evil person, Haman, and he was able to get the ear of the king to give him permission to annihilate all Jews, and he set that date when it was going to happen. In Adar, he picked the month, he drew a lot, that's what it's called Purim. And then all of the Jews were frightened, they realized what was happening. They gathered together, they fasted, they did tshuva, and then they were saved. And because they were saved in a great miraculous way, or hidden miracles, we then have days of feast on the same day that he was to destroy us. That's a pretty good synopsis of the 10 prakim of the Megillah. The only problem is that that's starting from the second scene. That's starting from the second part of the story. And many people miss out on the first part of the story. What was the first part of the story?
Simulation.
First part of the story is,
they gave up the Yiddish. They went to the party.
As the Gemara says, Shalu Talmidav Esrib Shimbay Yochai. Why was it that a Haman was able to come on the scene? Why was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only allowed but sent someone like Haman to remind us of what we're supposed to do? Why is a Haman allowed to come? So we just heard it from the Navi Malachi. The Prophet just told us, in accordance with how much we stray away from the Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu increases the anti-Semitism of the rest of the nations. And here the Gemara says two reasons. Because there were Jews, many, who partook in the feast of Achashverosh many years before that, almost 9 years before the story of Haman that came on the scene. So to start with the story of Purim with Haman is starting about 9 years after the fact. And the second reason is because they bowed down to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar put up, which is many, many years before that. So that's really where the story of Purim begins. The story of Purim begins as the history of Klal Yisrael is always. We do something wrong. Hashem says, you have two ways of listening and understanding. You have to do tshuva. Either you go back to the Navi and see what you did wrong and see you have to do tshuva. And if not, Hashem will send us people and send us ways of getting us to do better. And this is really what the Bach tells us. The Bach tells us in Hilchas Chanukah, in Siman Tov Reish Ayin, the Bach in Hilchas Chanukah asks a famous question. V'ikar l'meidak, he says, on Chanukah, there's no particular mitzvah to have festive meals. It's a Yom Tov which is dedicated only lahoidos v'lahalal, to say halal, to sing praises, but no special meal that has to be done. As the Maharam in Rutenberg says, kavam lahoidos v'lahalal v'loy l'mishta v'simcha, not for feasts of eating and drinking. Says the Bach, you could ask the question, v'kalameidak hi gufa kosha. Why on Chanukah do we not have Mishta V'Simcha, and on Purim we do? V'nireh. Says the Bach de Bepurim Iker Hagzera Haisa Lefishananimus Hudasir Shalaisha Rasha. We think Purim starts with a Haman, and because Haman came against us, therefore we do tshuva, and all is taken care of if we do it right, and the decree goes away. And the Bach is saying that's not where it starts. It starts with a Gzera Min HaShemayim. Why is there a Gzera Min HaShemayim? Because we were unanimous who does Shalaisa Rasha. Al Kain Nigzer Aleim Lahareg Ula'abed Es Hagufim. Shenanami Achil Vishasiya. The decree came from Haman to destroy us physically because our Aveira was because we benefited in a physical way. But the decree always starts from us. We always point, oh, look, there's terrible people out there in Iran and in the Middle East and all other places. And we say, oh, it's terrible what they want to do with us. And we always point the finger at them instead of pointing the finger at us. And it's so futile. It's so silly that we say, oh, there's terrible Rasham out there. What should we do? We have to say, why are the terrible Rasham out there? Why does Hashem allow it? Why does Hashem send the anti-Semitism to us? The Navi tells us why he does that. He does us because we did something wrong. We're doing something wrong. We're straying from the path. We think we're very good. We're Shemir Teira Mitzvahs. We're keeping Hashem's Teira. Hashem says, but the ones who at least will understand that there's a message here from Hashem will understand that there's a decree from Hashem. There's a Gzeira going on presently. Could be we did the Aveira 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and we're continuing that way, but in some way we're straying from the path. And Hashem is saying, I want you to do tshuva. And if you don't do tshuva by listening to the Nevi'im, which are open and clearly telling us what we have to do, then Hashem says that I'll send people kehaman, as the Gemara tells us. Hashem says I'll send people like Haman. Haman comes in many shapes and forms. There's a Medrash, which I'll just give you the Maram Makom. I'll tell you where it is. You can look it up on your own. But it's a fascinating Medrash that you see how Chazal understood everything that takes place not only in their times, but in all future times. It's a Medrash in Esther Rabba Perek Zayin, Parsha Zayin, Ois Yud Gimel. And it's a very long Medrash which explains how when Haman came to Achashverosh and he told him that Imal HaMelech Tov Yikosev La'abdom, and he's trying to convince Achashverosh that it's not worth his while to keep this nation around, and it's actually very beneficial to him if he allows Achashverosh allows Haman to destroy the Jews. And Achashverosh didn't want to hear of it. He said, you crazy? The Jews have Hashem on their side. They have the master of the universe on their side. I'm not starting with them. You see what happened to Mitzrayim? You see what happened to Amalek? I'm not starting up with them. So Achashverosh told him, he says, if you can go get the UN on your side, go ask all of the Chachamim, all of the advisors. You can convince them, then come back to me. And he said he went to try to convince them, and he didn't have their ear either. He says, you're crazy. Not the people we want to start up with. Until he finally convinced them, he says, you don't understand. Hashem has given up on them. And I'll prove it to you. The basement was destroyed, and it hasn't been rebuilt. Hashem has gone into exile. Now is the time. And finally, he was able to convince them. And Haman's message, finally, after years and years of persisting, finally, he was able to listen. Finally, they, Achashverosh, listened to them. And this is exactly what's happening today. There's people who are saying things over and over without any shame, unabashedly. They're saying things in public, and we think, yeah, they're crazy people, no one's going to listen to them, until they finally are able to be accepted by the masses. And this is what happened with Haman. Until finally he got word, his word rang true in the ears of Achashverosh, and he got permission to send out all of the letters that he's going to destroy the Jews on this particular day. And the Bach is telling us, why was he able to do that? It was a Gezerah against us. And the Gezerah was, because we did wrong, Hashem says, I have to send them a Gezerah. It was a decree against us, and that's why Haman had his way. And why Purim is the Yom Tov that's so relevant to us is because the Sfas Emes says, and what was Purim a lead up to? What was Purim a preparation to? Purim was a preparation to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing less. The Beis HaMikdash was in the process of being rebuilt. Achashverosh put a stop to it. And with the Nes of Purim, with finally us doing tshuva from the days of Purim, us finally gathering together under the leadership of Mordechai v'Esther, and fasting and doing a proper tshuva, not just starting to do the right thing, but doing tshuva on past misdeeds, we finally were able to merit to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and then right after that go back to Eretz Yisrael and have the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Sfasema says the same thing is with our time now. What is our time? Our time is the lead up of the Bayis Shlishi. Our time is the lead up of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the final Beis HaMikdash. So whatever took place in the times of Purim, when we finally did the tshuva, we merited the second Beis HaMikdash, we'll do tshuva now, we'll merit the third Beis HaMikdash, no less. That's what we're holding now, that's the time period. And that's why if we take a little bit of a somber moment of Purim, before all the festivities of the Mishneh V'Simcha begin, if we take a moment in this Shabbos, which will be for us a Shabbos Shuvah, and we put ourselves in the right frame of mind, and everyone themselves thinking, what do I have to do tshuva on? Then we'll lead up to Purim and Mishneh V'Simcha. That rejoicing will be indeed, we'll have the Chatzi Lashem on Shabbos, or the Chatzi Lochem on Sunday. We'll be Mekayim the Yom Tov in its totality, in its fullness. And this is what meant will be concluded this famous Gemara, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Zayin Amid Beis. Again, a machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Im Yisrael leisin tshuva nigalin. If we do tshuva, we will be redeemed. V'im lav, if we don't do tshuva, ein nigalin. We won't be redeemed. We won't have that third Beis Hamidosh. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, says Rabbi Yeshua, "Ein leisin tshuva ein nigalin." If we don't do tshuva, we won't have be redeemed. We won't have a geula. Certainly, we will. Hashem will appoint a king that his decrees are as evil as the ones of Haman. The Yisrael lays in tshuva, and then we'll do tshuva. Umachzira lemutav. It's a very strange machlekes, says the Marsha. Rabbi Eliezer says, if we do tshuva, we'll be redeemed. If we don't do tshuva, we won't be redeemed. Rabbi Yeshua says, what? What do you mean? If we don't do tshuva, we won't be redeemed? Hashem will make us do tshuva. So there's no machlaikis. Rabbi Eliezer says you have to do tshuva to be redeemed. Rabbi Yeshua says you have to do tshuva to be redeemed. What's the machlaikis then? What are they arguing about? Says the Marsha, machlaikis is like this. There's two ways we could do tshuva. We can either just listen to the Navi and do tshuva on our own. Or if not, Hashem says, I will get you to do tshuva, because I will bring someone like Haman or the like, and we'll do tshuva. So Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is that we have to do tshuva on the higher level. We have to do tshuva just by listening to the Nevi'im. On our own, we have to do tshuva. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, if we're not going to do tshuva that way, is all lost? Not all is lost, says Rabbi Yeshua. Hashem will get us to do tshuva, and we'll do tshuva only by default. We'll only do tshuva because our backs are against the wall, we're pressured to do tshuva. But that indeed is also an acceptable tshuva. And each of them bring psukim to prove their opinion. But either way we can have it. We're always faced with two paths in front of us. We can either do tshuva by listening to the Nevi'im, or G'deira la'asara satabas, greater is the removal of the king of Achashverosh and given the permission to Haman to carry out that decree. Because as Rabbi Yeshua says, in either case we will do tshuva. Rabbi Eliezer agrees with that. We can do tshuva either like Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, we do tshuva on our own, or we have to do tshuva like Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, that Hashem will force us to do tshuva. But in either case, the only way we will be redeemed is with tshuva. The only day we'll have the geula, the final geula, and rebuild that Beis HaMikdash is with tshuva.
Special about Purim. I'm just thinking of Yom Kippurim. On Yom Kippur, we spend all day, like you said, without any physical pleasures at all day, and we work so hard, and what's our goal? Asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us life, to give us whatever we need. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what our goal for Yom Kippur is. It takes a long time. It's 26 hours to do that. thinking about a quick fix, just like Hashanah is a quick fix. Purim is another quick fix on the positive way, because it says on Purim, whoever stretches out their hand to you, give to them. One doesn't differentiate, do they need, do they not need. It's a time to stretch out your hand. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be in the same madrega. If he demands that from us, then he has to demand that from himself. So on Purim, if we stretch out our hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him for what we need, spiritually and physically, but certainly spiritually, he's got to give that to us, because that's what he said Purim is. So that's the fix, quick fix of Purim. It has to be sincere, that if we, on Purim, in one quick time that we can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu what we need, he will do that. That's the mirror of Purim. That's why it's even stronger than Yom Kippur, because it's in a way easier to do. We can do it with through feasting. We can do it in any way we find easier for us to do, as long as we're sincere, it will happen.